Aurora, and welcome to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, the founder and CEO of Academia Edu, and I'm delighted you're here with me. Today, we're diving into an incredibly important and honestly pretty moving piece of research by Ruku Iyansen. It's titled Teputama Aura Framework, Colonization PTSD, Tetaniwa Owakama, or put a little more plainly, the framework for understanding colonization PTSD with a focus on shame, especially in a Maori context. Oh, and just to be super clear, I'm presenting the key arguments and findings from Iyansen's paper in a neutral way. I'm not endorsing them personally. Okay, let's get into it. So let me start with the basic question. What's at the heart of this paper? The crux is the concept of colonization PTSD, a set of trauma responses often spread over generations, rooted in the complex and ongoing wounds inflicted by colonization, especially for Maori communities in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And at the very center of that, there's this almost invisible, deeply painful emotion, wakama, or shame. Why does this matter? Well, for a lot of people, especially Maori, there's this experience of recurring suffering, anxiety, or grief, feelings that just don't seem to connect to a clear cause. It's like being triggered by something seemingly random, and you're left wondering, why am I reacting like this? Or maybe even feeling out of place in your own community, or homesick for a home you never really had the chance to know. I mean, who hasn't had moments like that, even if our backgrounds are different? Okay, so what does the paper actually do? The main thrust is this: naming the wound, putting a name and wakapapa, or genealogy, to feelings of shame and displacement, actually kicks off the healing process. Naming isn't just step one, it's a powerful act in and of itself. When we name what's happened, we give it an address, you might say, a way to see it as something that happened to you or your wānau, not something that's inherently wrong with you. Let's talk about those layers, because wow, Iyansen gets super systematic here. The paper identifies 7 layers of displacement that colonization caused in Maori life: land, language, lineage, knowledge, community, self, and financial security. Imagine being cut off from your language, your community, even your way of understanding the world, all at the same time. Each of these, in the author's view, needs to be acknowledged and named separately. And that act of naming, well, it gives clarity, a map through the fog. The methods, it's kind of a mashup. There's a blend of neurobiology, things like what happens in the brain when you label emotions, trauma theory, narrative therapy, decolonization literature, and Iyansen's own personal reflections. But, and this is important, the paper isn't just a clinical or scientific treatise. It's about lived experience. There are moments when Iyansen describes feeling deep shame in situations where, technically, there's nothing to be ashamed of. That cycle of shame, especially unnameable shame, is what keeps the wound transmitting through generations. A key finding, it's honestly fascinating, is this: when you can name the pattern, the brain actually changes. Neuroimaging, think sciencey MRI machines, shows that labeling emotions increases activity in the thinking part of your brain and dampens the danger alarm parts. That means, you know, it can quiet that buzzing anxiety, that sense of danger that seems to persist. Sometimes, weirdly, even across generations. So if you're listening and you sometimes get those prickly, inexplicable feelings of not belonging, shame, or grief, maybe even if you've never had the words for them, the paper's message is basically, you're not alone. And more than that, maybe what you're carrying isn't yours alone at all. Naming where it comes from, or even just being open to the idea there's a history, could help. And if you're working alongside others in any caring profession, this idea might change how you listen or what you look out for. Ah, I almost forgot. There's this beautiful digression in the paper about poverty and the way it's not just lack of money, but actually an inheritance, a pattern handed down, not because of any flaw, but because of very specific losses. That was pretty striking. I sometimes wonder, honestly, how many things in our lives that feel like quirks or weaknesses might actually have roots that go so much deeper. But this is getting personal. Sorry, last Iyansen wraps up by saying that naming isn't a magical fix. It's just the first unskippable part of healing. When the wound has a name, it stops being part of your core identity and becomes something you're experiencing. A shift that, neurologically, can be a game changer. So what does this all mean for you? Well, whether you're Maori, non-Maori, or from somewhere entirely different, it's a prompt to reflect on the parts of your story that may have gone unnamed. Academic research, as always, doesn't give us the truth. It just offers a flashlight into parts of human experience. Maybe you'll want to carry that flashlight a little differently after hearing this. Thanks for joining me on In Depth with Academia. Don't forget, I'm here just to share these ideas neutrally for thought and discussion. As always, if this sparked something for you, go explore more, talk to someone, or just sit with it a while. Kakite ano.